Over the last several weeks together, we've been looking at the church and what it means to be a church and what it means to be a healthy church member. And so we've talked about how a healthy church member should be a genuine convert to the gospel, a genuine believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, whose life is showing evidence of the fact that they've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. We've talked about the fact that a healthy church member is a disciple, a growing, learning disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ who is seeking not only to grow themselves, but also is wanting to help bring others up in the faith and disciple others and invest in their lives. We've seen that a healthy church member is a worshiper who loves God with all their heart, soul, and mind and strength and worships God, not just when we come together as believers, but throughout the week as well, privately, reading the scriptures and praying and singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, worshiping with our families, if we have families living at home, worshiping with our spouses, just making all of life about worshiping God and bringing honor and glory to Him, expressing to Him how great He is because of who He is and all that He's done, and then gathering together on the Lord's Day as the body of Christ to worship together, where the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in our midst. We also saw last week that a healthy church member is concerned about the unity of the body and strives with all their being for that unity and sets aside their own pride and their own preferences and tries to work together for the health of the body, building one another up in the faith, so that we all come, as Paul says in Ephesians 4, as until we all come to the unity of the faith and reach the level of maturity in which we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes about, but that we're unified in the faith, in the gospel, the faith that was handed down to us from the Lord Jesus Christ and His apostles. This morning we're continuing to think about this question of what is a healthy church member. And I want us to think this morning about this area of spiritual gifts and how we can use our talents and abilities for the Lord Jesus Christ in His body. And the main idea that I want us to think about this morning is that a healthy church member uses their gifts for building and strengthening the body of Christ. A healthy church member is involved in the body and is using their gifts that the Lord has given them for the building up of the body, for the strengthening of the body, for the glory of Christ. Now, before we get into this very far, we probably should think about what a spiritual gift is. And so I want us to just think about what a spiritual gift is. Here's one definition that I found helpful. A spiritual gift is any talent or ability given or enhanced by the indwelling Holy Spirit for the benefit of the body of Christ. Now, a couple of things about that definition that I want us to think about just for a moment. One is that this is primarily a talent or ability, some characteristic, some qualification that you are able to do, some giftedness that you have that you can be a blessing to others with that giftedness. And that talent or that ability comes from the Holy Spirit who indwells your heart. That giftedness could be something that the Holy Spirit gives, something that you did not have before. So when the Holy Spirit comes to take up residence in your heart, when the Holy Spirit transforms you from the inside out, perhaps the Holy Spirit brings to you an ability, a gift, a talent that you did not have before you were brought to Christ. And along these lines, we might even think about the supernatural gifts that we see at different places in the New Testament. And so the Holy Spirit may bestow, as we see in the apostolic age, the Holy Spirit may bestow on someone the ability to speak in a language that they had never learned before. That's a supernaturally bestowed gift. That's something that they did not have that is just granted by the power of the Holy Spirit. The ability like Paul or John had in the book of Acts chapter 4 to walk up to someone who was lame, who could not walk, lying in front of the temple, and they say to him, "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk." And he stands up and he walks. And so gifts of revelation, gifts of speaking in tongues, gifts of prophecy, gifts of healing, those are what we would call the revelatory or the sign gifts. And just one comment about that this morning. I don't have time to get into the whole controversy about whether or not those gifts are still active today. My personal view on that from the Scriptures is that those gifts ceased with the first century passing of the apostles. And so those gifts, I believe, were given during the time of the New Testament being written, during the apostolic age, when new revelation was coming about the gospel and about the implications of the gospel, about the gospel extending beyond the borders of Israel to all the nations on earth, about how the gospel should be applied now that the Lord Jesus Christ has come. And so there was a time, a transitionary stage there, where we needed revelation from God. We needed truth. We needed prophecy. We needed more understanding about how we were to live in this new age of the Lord Jesus Christ after He accomplished His death and resurrection. And under the guidance of the apostles, that new revelation was given and has been recorded for us in the New Testament. I believe also that some of the sign gifts, such as speaking in tongues or healing people of illnesses, diseases, raising people from the dead, those gifts of the signs of speaking in tongues or of miraculous healings, I believe those were given to authenticate the message of the apostles. So the new revelation was being given through the apostles, and there were accompanying signs to authenticate that message. One scriptural reason why I believe that those sign gifts ceased with the apostolic age is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, which teaches us that the church, which we are, the church of the living God, that we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. And so the church throughout the ages continues to be built on the foundation that was laid of the prophets and the apostles in the first century. Now, to use the analogy, you don't keep laying the foundation. You lay the foundation at the beginning, and then once the foundation is laid, then you continue to build on that foundation. And so that's all I'm going to say about that this morning, about the continuation of the sign gifts. I believe they ceased with the time of the apostles. And now what we have handed down to us is the Scriptures. We have the Bible. We have the Word of God. We have the revelation that Jesus gave to His apostles. We have it recorded for us in the epistles and Gospels of the New Testament. And so we know how we should live. We know what we should believe because of what's in the Scriptures. And so that's one example of an ability that could be given by the Holy Spirit to someone who did not have it before. But I also say in this definition, given or enhanced. And I said that on purpose because I think there's also an aspect of spiritual giftedness in which the Holy Spirit, once He comes into our lives, can take what we already are and redeem it and use it for His glory. And so the Holy Spirit, when He comes into our hearts and regenerates us, the Holy Spirit can take natural giftedness, natural talents and natural abilities that perhaps are built into us by our Creator, and the Holy Spirit can take those and use those and enhance those for ministry within the body. And so a spiritual gift is a talent or an ability given or enhanced by the indwelling Holy Spirit specifically for the benefit of the body. Specifically for the church, for the building up of believers in the household of faith. I want to think about these spiritual gifts just for a moment with you this morning along 4 points. The first one is the Lord Jesus Christ sovereignly bestows the gifts through the Holy Spirit. And so, who is it that determines who has what gifts? How those gifts are distributed? Who determines that? The Lord Jesus does. mediated through the Holy Spirit who indwells us. And so we don't choose the gifts that we have. The Lord chooses those gifts, and He dispenses them according to His will. Ephesians 4, verse 7 says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." So Christ is dealing out His gracious gifts. Verse 8 says, "This is why it says," quoting from the Old Testament, "when He ascended on high," that is Jesus, "when He ascended, He took many captives and gave gifts to His people." And so what Paul is seeking to emphasize here is that Christ is the giver of gifts. And those gifts came when the Lord Jesus ascended on high to the right hand of God the Father. Verses 9 and 10 say, "What does He ascended mean except that He also descended to the lower earthly regions?" I take that to mean when Jesus came in the incarnate Son of God, when He was born in Bethlehem and came to live among us and dwell among us here on earth. And so He descended and lived among us, and then the one who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, notice this, to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And so it is the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Christ, the ascended Christ, the Lord Jesus who is at the right hand of God the Father, the one who is Lord over heaven and earth, it is He who gives the gifts according to His will. And He blesses His church with these gifts for the building up of the body, so that we can all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so it is Christ who sovereignly bestows the gifts through the Holy Spirit. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. "This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will." And so it is the will of God that distributes the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:4. "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit," that is the Holy Spirit, "distributes them." And so it is Christ working through the indwelling Holy Spirit who sovereignly dispenses the gifts according to His will. 1 Corinthians 12:11. "All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines." And so the Lord Jesus Christ sovereignly bestows the gifts. Number two, every believer possesses spiritual gifts, but not all have the same gifts. I'm convinced from the Scriptures that everyone who is in Christ, every believer who has the indwelling Holy Spirit, has gifts of the Spirit, has abilities, talents that you're able to use in the body because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. But we're not all the same. The Holy Spirit, who is sovereign, dispenses those gifts and gives to all of His children, but He gives them out differently. He assigns them differently according to His will. Why? For the overall health of the body. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." You notice that? Two emphases there. To each one, the Spirit is given. So the Spirit gives the gifts according to His will to every believer in Christ. But notice what the purpose is for. For the common good. For the good of the body of believers. 1 Corinthians 12:11, "All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines." So to every believer, the Holy Spirit distributes gifts. And He does it so that He can form a unified body with different functions. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. And so what Paul is teaching in 1 Corinthians 12 is that as the church, we are the body of Christ, and he uses the analogy of a human body to illustrate the fact that every member of the church has a role to play in the body of Christ, but all those roles are different and unique. And so he goes on, he talks about how we have feet, and the feet can't say to the hand, I don't need you, and the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. So we have eyes and ears and feet and hands. We have these different parts to function as a unity in the body so that all of the work of the ministry is done collectively through the individual parts with their individual gifts and talents. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, Paul teaches that, in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. It's almost like Paul is thinking back to the creation week, Genesis 1, when God made man for the very first time. In Genesis 2:7, it says that God formed out of the dust of the ground man, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It's almost like God is, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, is seen as a master potter who is taking the clay and he's shaping it and fashioning it just as he wants it to be. Paul is playing off of that in relationship to the church, the body of Christ. And he's saying what the church is a body in which God is placing the individual parts. He's shaping it. He's fashioning it according to His will so that you end up with a unified body with different parts doing different functions, all working together for the overall edification of the body. And so what this means is, because the Holy Spirit is the one who gives the gifts, and He gives them to us through His indwelling presence in our lives at salvation, what that means is everything that we are able to do for the Lord Jesus Christ is a gift of grace. He bestows them. And so if we have an ability that can be used to build up the body of Christ, Paul is teaching us here there's to be no pride in that. No boasting about that. Because it's the Holy Spirit who gives the gift. And so the Holy Spirit bestows it. It's not ours naturally. And so therefore we have nothing to boast about. And so we give praise and honor to Christ because He's given these gifts. And also then it teaches us that we need to not be boastful about the gifts that we have, but instead we need to see how we can use our gifts for the overall health of the body to build it up. And so it's intentional that we not all have the same gifts. It's intentional that we're all different. You can do things that I cannot do. You have talents and abilities that I do not have. And we need the whole thing to function as a body. I cannot do it all. You cannot do it all. None of us individually can do it all, and that was never God's plan. It was God's plan from the very beginning when He formed the church that we would all work together in our different talents and abilities, our different giftedness for the overall health of the body. And so each one of us has a role to play as the Holy Spirit has dispensed the gifts. In Romans chapter 12, Paul teaches on spiritual gifts there as well. And he says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each of you." Very important. What he's saying there in verse 3 is God is giving us grace. God is dispensing grace, and a part of that dispensing of grace are the gifts of the Spirit. And He's dispensing those gifts of grace, and we put to use those gifts of grace through faith in the context of the body of Christ. And there's no room for pride in that. There's no room for us thinking of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Rather, we need to remember that the grace that we have been given is a gift, and so we use that in the body of Christ. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And then he lists out several different gifts that the Holy Spirit has given. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I just want you to think about that list for a second. A couple of aspects of that list. One is, I'm not convinced that that list or any of the lists of the spiritual gifts that Paul gives in the New Testament are intended to be exhaustive. In other words, I think that these gifts of the Spirit that are mentioned here are representative of even other kinds of gifts that the Spirit gives that are of use in the body. The reason I say that is because when Paul lists the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, that also is a representative list. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness. He lists 9 qualities of the Spirit in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But we all know, because of other places in the New Testament, that there are other qualities that go along with being a Christian. Those 9 aren't the only qualities of living a Spirit-filled life. So also here in Romans 12, I think the gifts that the Spirit gives are not exhausted by this list that Paul gives here. And even look at the kinds of things he says. We have the kind of gifts that are more upfront, that are more visible, like teaching and prophesying and leading. But we also have the kinds of gifts that are maybe more behind the scenes, that are not quite as visible, like just encouraging one another, showing mercy to one another, serving one another, giving out of the blessings that we've been given to give to one another with a cheerful heart. Those are often things that take place behind the scenes. And so there may be things that we are able to do, qualities, talents, resources that we may have that are of use to the body of Christ that maybe other people in the body of Christ don't have. And if you don't exercise your gifts, then the body will not be healthy. Because Christ has blessed you, He's made you in a certain way, and He's blessed you with certain gifts so that you can fit into the body for the overall health of the body. And if you don't utilize your gifts that only you have, that nobody else in the body can use, then the overall health of the body is hurt. And so every believer possesses spiritual gifts, and he's distributed them differently so that there is the overall health of the body. And so spiritual gifts are given by Christ, by His sovereign will. Spiritual gifts are given to every believer, but different gifts. Now, number 3, spiritual gifts are given for use within the body of Christ in order to build and strengthen it. Can you show mercy outside the body of Christ? Well, sure, absolutely. Can you show a generous giving spirit outside the body of Christ? Absolutely. Can you teach the Word of God outside the context of the body of Christ, maybe to an unbeliever that you meet? Absolutely. But it's interesting that when Paul talks about the spiritual gifts, the focus is on the body. The focus is on the church and how those gifts are used within the body. And so teaching, leading, ministering, encouraging, showing mercy, those are to be used within the body. Why? So that the overall health of the body will be strengthened and built up. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 24. God has put the body together so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. And so the parts are to work together, showing concern for one another. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. If you read through 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, where Paul teaches extensively on spiritual gifts, the one emphasis that you will catch very clearly is that Paul views the spiritual gifts as for the building up of the body, for the edification of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 14:12. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. In fact, even when discussing different gifts, he says, seek the ones and desire the ones and pray for the ones that are most useful in building up the body collectively. They're most helpful for the body as a whole. Ephesians 4, we read a little bit earlier, where Christ gives these different gifts to the church, apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, to equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, for the building up, the strengthening of the body, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so spiritual gifts are given by Christ, given to all of His believers differently according to His will, and they're given for the building up of the body. Number four, spiritual gifts should be developed and used with a motivation of love for others and the glory of God. How do we employ these gifts and how do we use them? With what motivation do we use them? Out of love for others and for the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the passage that we know as the love chapter. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not boastful. That passage on love is right in the middle of 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 that deals with the spiritual gifts. And what Paul is teaching in 1 Corinthians 13 is that in our use of the spiritual gifts, we need to be certain that we are using them for the building up of the body and with a spirit of love toward one another, not in a spirit of selfishness or of pride. That's why he says in 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Doesn't matter how many languages I can speak, how many tongues I can speak in, Paul says. It doesn't matter how great my spiritual gifts are. If I don't love other people, then I'm just making a bunch of noise. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And so what Paul is teaching in 1 Corinthians 13 is whatever we have received, whatever we have been given in terms of ability, giftedness by the Spirit, is to be used for the body of Christ in accordance with the will of God, decently and in order, so that God may be glorified and so that others may be loved and encouraged and built up. And that's why he concludes the chapter by saying, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. That's what we are to be characterized by as Christians, is not what spiritual gifts we have, but how much we love other people. By this will all men know you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. And so, spiritual gifts should be developed and used with a motivation of love for others and the glory of God. 1 Colossians 1:18, for the glory of Christ. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. It's all for the glory of Christ. Our use of the gifts is for the glory of Christ and for the love of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you today. A healthy church member uses their gifts for building and strengthening the body of Christ. Let's just take a couple of minutes here and ask, what are my gifts? How do I know what my gifts are? How do I know how I can be used in the body? There are some who would give out a test of questions, like a survey, and say, here, take this test and answer these questions, and it'll help you determine your spiritual giftedness. There can be some helpfulness to that, but I think it's limited. I think sometimes those tests don't actually give a very accurate representation of who we are and what giftedness we've received from the Spirit. I think a better way of understanding what gifts we've received and how we're of best use to the body is by just serving in the body. Take opportunities whenever you can to serve and get involved in the body. Take opportunities whenever you can to encourage one another. Take opportunities whenever you can to be of service to one another. If you feel like the Lord has given you an ability to teach other people publicly, then come and talk to me. And we'll look for opportunities for you to see if the Spirit has gifted you in that way and if we can enhance that giftedness. And so I think the best way to understand how you can be used in the body is just start being used in the body and see where the Holy Spirit has blessed you and see how He is using you in other people's lives. And there may be some of you who are very, very good at just giving people a word of encouragement. Very, very good. And just it just some comes so naturally to you to pick up the phone and offer a prayer or a word of encouragement to another believer in Christ. There may be some who comes incredibly naturally to you because of the giftedness of the Spirit to think strategically about leadership and about administration and about how things should be done and making sure that all the details are taken care of. There are some people that have been just gifted naturally by the Spirit, who just, it seems like it comes so natural to them to, when someone is down, when somebody's going through a hard time, when someone is suffering loss, they know exactly the right thing to say. They know exactly how to give a word of encouragement and show mercy in that situation. Those are the gifts of the Spirit. And so, as you are serving in the body, as you are fellowshipping with others in the body, as you're counseling with others, encouraging others, showing mercy to others, I think it will become evident where the Holy Spirit has gifted you. Because others in the body will affirm that. Others in the body will tell you, thank you for being such an encouragement to me in this. Thank you for that note that you wrote me, or thank you for praying that prayer for me. Thank you for that counsel, that advice that you gave me, because that really helped me through this situation. As you are being used in the body, other members of the body will affirm where you're gifted for use in the body. And so just become more involved in people's lives and more involved in the life of the church. And I believe the Holy Spirit will reveal to you where He has gifted you, where He's given you His grace. And so let's come together as the body of Christ and use our individual talents, our individual giftedness from the Spirit that none of us share the exact same giftedness. We're all different. We're all unique parts of the body. But Christ, who is the sovereign Lord, has placed us here in this church. He's designed it in such a way so that we can build up the whole body together as we each use our gifts. And so let me just encourage you to use your gifts for the building up and strengthening of the body of Christ in love for the glory of God.